880 AM, The Biz, South Florida's only all-business station, welcomes you to Freed on Business. He grew up in South Florida, has been in business here since the early 1990s, and has closed over $1 billion in deals. He's seen it all. He always has an opinion, and he's always ready to share it. Informed, entertaining, and connected, he has his finger on the throbbing pulse of South Florida's business community. He's Jim Freed, exclusively on 880 AM, The Biz. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, here's your host, Jim Freed.
Oh, all right. Happy Thanksgiving week, everybody, and happy holidays for those of us hearing us on the replay next week. I want to thank everybody for joining us. This is Jim Freed for Freed on Business. We've got a real special show for you for Thanksgiving week. We've got Casey Conway. Casey's the economist for the Culver House School of Business, specializing in real estate up at the University of Alabama. He also is the CCIM economist. He comes down every year for the NAI event. I want to thank Jeremy Larkin and the rest of the team over at NAI for bringing Casey to town. And Casey gave us a very insightful interview before he spoke to the crowd at the NAI annual event. If you weren't at the NAI annual event, well, you're going to hear what Casey had to say. So let's get right to it. We've got Casey Conway coming up right after this short break. Stay with us. We've got a tremendous show. And of course, at the end of the show, I'll talk about the things that I'm thankful for, everybody that helped me on the campaign. Remember, just 2 years ago, this Thanksgiving, I was still looking and praying for Vivian to have a kidney, and now she thankfully has one. So we've got a great show for you today. Take it away, Regan. Everybody, hey, if you're looking to buy or lease a car, oh my gosh, the Facebook thing went crazy. Hey, everybody, if you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry. I just saw Larry's in France with the Bugatti guys today. High five to Larry. Bring me back a Bugatti, Larry. That's right. And they also have Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar up in Gainesville. They've got Audi down here in Keys. They've got all their great name brands. You hear me talking about going down there and getting a Jeep. My God, one of these Jeeps just blew by me yesterday. They've got tremendous new Jeeps out there. They're all exceptional cars, and they all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means that you get complimentary service loaners, dynamic wheel and alloy protection. You get key replacement, the guaranteed repurchase offer, or rather the guaranteed purchase offer, the best value guarantee, and of course the 72-hour exchange. You can take 3 full days to be certain you love your Warren Henry vehicle. So join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You can be too. Always the best service, always the best price, always Warren Henry.
Ugly.
Stupid.
Dweeb.
Useless. Weird.
Slow.
Things that should never be said.
Shut it down.
We are all beautiful.
We are strong.
We are powerful.
Be loud.
Be proud.
We have the power to put an end to bullying.
So go ahead. Be you.
Be bold.
Be different.
Be brave.
Choose to stand up against bullies.
Choose kindness.
Choose kindness.
Choose kindness. Hey, everybody, need to close your deal by year end? There's still time. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. I've got one teed up for January, one teed up for December. In fact, two teed up for December, maybe a third also. Maybe that third can be you. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. Need a bridge loan? Got those. Need to finance your foreign buyer? Yeah, I can help you with that too. So if you've got a real estate need and a real estate question, give me a call. I've helped a number of families solve their real estate needs this year. My first quarter real estate need I'll be solving next year, equity for large apartment development. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's all about you.
You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're here with my good friend Casey Conway. I want to thank our friends at NAI Global for putting on the conference that I'm interviewing Casey at. Casey, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here. Great to see you.
Now, Casey, you got your red shoes on. I want to give you the high five on that. We're going to talk about the economy of Florida. Why don't you just take us through and tell me, you know, whether the glass is half full, half empty, what's going on here in the state? There's all kinds of mind-blowing facts. Maybe you want to start with some things that get people's attention.
Yeah, so no recession in Florida, and I actually think that Florida and Texas are going to potentially be the U.S. version of Brexit next year after the elections. And so it's basically going to be Florida and Texas merged to exit, and we already have a term for it. It's called Flexit. So Florida and Texas, they've sucked all the wealth out of New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, the West Coast, and they're going to take the wealth, the jobs, and the workforce, and they're just going to exit. So that's how strong the Florida economy is. I call it the new Floridanomics, whether it's job growth, whether it's employment, whether it's GDP, it's an amazing story. And people have a misperception. They think it's all housing and Disney and tourism. You know, people would be shocked that Florida's top export is civilian aircraft.
Hold on a minute. So who's making that civilian aircraft and where is it being made?
It's, well, a lot of it in the central part of the state. And not only that, but it'll blow people's minds on the aircraft. And you got the pilot training, Embry-Riddle, and the schools and everything. But Florida's top agriculture export, it's not citrus anymore. It's meat, it's cows, and then it's going to be cannabis, right?
I think so. I think I know somebody that's working hard on that. And in fact, the cattlemen, even though it's a big export, I don't know how profitable it is to do cattle anymore in the state of Florida. Let's talk about growth. How is the growth in Florida stack up to other states in the country?
It's phenomenal. So if you looked at a five-year look, so rather than just look at the last quarter year over year, you look back the last 5 years, Florida ranks number four in the country in total job growth with an average annual rate of over 15%. Now, that's a big state. Number one is Utah. That's a much smaller state. When you're a state the size of Florida or Texas, Texas is growing at 11 to 12%. Florida at over 15%, that is just mind-boggling. And it's a simple recipe. It's affordability, it's taxes, it's workforce, it's sunshine, even though you don't use it for solar. People come here and use it for their solar on their bodies. But
it is. It's something, you know, it's a warm place. People are moving. Now, what are some of the trends that you're seeing from an in-migration standpoint from the Northeast? How do we rank on our migration from the Northeast?
Yeah, so it's an interesting, pretty interesting story. One of them, University of Central Florida published a study earlier, the first half of this year, on Florida's economic forecast. And one of the biggest areas of growth in Florida is financial services and financial activities. This is basically Wall Street's moving to Florida.
Wow.
It's moving right here to Miami.
Wow, that's great. Well, that has a lot of implications for the office folks, but what about the residential folks? I would imagine that they're seeing a big impact from that too.
Yeah, and you've got some bank mergers that are affecting. So you have a big one right now, SunTrust and BB&T merging. That moves the banking headquarters out of Atlanta to North Carolina.
Wow.
You got another one that's here in Florida, Iberia and First Horizon, which is headquarters will be in Memphis. But, you know, people forget, just drive around South Florida over near Doral Country Club and look at all the foreign banks doing business in South Florida. It's an amazing story. I think it's time to get rid of the Atlanta Fed. We need to make it the Miami Fed.
Well, I know friends that would definitely be interested in that and some more of that. Now, let's talk about some of your economic indicators. The economy is really humming. But it may not be getting all of the press. You never really can understand why the financial press wouldn't want to talk about how great the economy is, but why don't we talk about it?
Yeah, so, you know, to prove to you that, you know, economists and weathermen are kindred spirits, so I now am starting to do weather forecasting in my economic forecast, and I'm breaking the economic data down between innocuous and cumulus clouds. You guys know what a cumulus cloud is, and particularly between about, June and November.
Storm clouds.
Yeah,
storm clouds.
The bad ones. So the government, you know, they focus on four: employment and industrial production and physical retail sales and income, and they're so good at it that they tell us when a recession is starting and when a recovery is starting. And they're so good at it, they tell us 2 years after the fact.
Yeah, after we so how do you make plans that way? What can you tell me that's a leading economic indicator?
So I have what I call the Red Shoe Economist Modern Eight Indicators.
Okay,
so,
give it to me.
So I've got eight. So we start with the real employment numbers. Instead of the BLS minus L equals BS labor report from the government where they make it up, I look at things like ADP, paychecks, and LinkedIn, which are private workforce. I look at forward-looking indicators like the JOLTS data, the job opening and labor turnover. We still have more job openings than we have people unemployed in this country at a 3.6% unemployment rate. I look at small business optimism. It's off the charts. The month after Trump was elected, it went into record territory. It set 12 records in terms of small business optimism. Small business is very optimistic and continuing to grow, not because of tax cuts, but because of regulatory relief. They got a lot of regulatory relief. And look at corporate earnings. We've just finished corporate earnings. Yesterday, we got Walmart numbers. It was their 21st consecutive quarter of beating expectations, 16 consecutive where they were over 3% same store comps. So you can't have a recession when you have retailers that strong, consumer that strong. The consumer is 65 to 70% of the business. I look at things like consumer optimism. I look at lending activity. I look at the performance of loan activity. I look at those eight. There's only one that's negative. The only one of my eight that's negative is rail traffic.
Why would that be negative?
And rail traffic, half of what we move on rail is petroleum and coal, or it used to be. Uh-huh. We now put petroleum in pipelines and we put coal somewhere else. We send it to China.
Oh, boy.
And so if you understand that, really none of our key indicators, consumer, small business, private job growth, the real job numbers, consumer confidence, lending activity, loan performance, none of them are negative. They're all positive numbers. So that's where it makes me very bullish on the economy.
Wow. So it seems like there's nothing that could, pardon the pun, derail where we're heading. So what are some other interesting observations that you can make about the state of Florida that would kind of flip us out?
So I think another one I've talked about before is logistics.
Right.
So it's all about logistics.
Sure.
And so there's a little place called Central Florida, Lakeland, Winter Haven, Plant City.
Claremont.
They have become the new inland empire of California. Home Depot just announced a big deal they're doing with Port Everglades to bring in all of their goods from around the world and bring them into Plant City for all of their distribution. Florida is all about logistics. It's becoming a big new inland empire. And so when you look at the population base, the Central Florida, that corridor I-4 between Orlando and Tampa, is massive. And we're seeing major institutional capital come here and invest in industrial assets and properties and development, all to deal with the logistics.
In towns you never heard of, like Prosproof, things that are up on the ridge. They're focusing on the ridge, the high land, aren't they?
Yeah, go figure. It's not strawberries anymore.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Now, what are we seeing? You know, we talked about the agriculture business here. Tell me a little bit about the agriculture business, because it seems like it's evolving and it's always been a driver for Florida.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the interesting thing that's happening with Florida, one of the predictions I made a few years ago was that Florida would become really the new agricultural center and food supply chain for the United States, not California. So California, it's overtaxed, it's on fire, it has no water, it has no workforce. Why do we grow food there? And then we expensively ship it across the country. So Florida not only accumulates it and grows it here, but it's accumulating it, it's using its rail network, and it's becoming the food supply chain all the way up into the populated East Coast markets. And so Tampa's a big part of that. CSX Rail's a big part of it. CSX is another important story that brings your agriculture and your logistics together. So CSX just reported its earnings, and it showed rail traffic was down. But guess what wasn't down? Profits and earnings. They were up. And part of the reason is CSX has become a very efficient railroad. It's figured out the efficiencies. It's moving more in containers than bulk type cargo. And so you've got some great stories here. The rail is very important. And the agriculture, you're becoming the supply chain that's going to feed the United States, not California.
Wow, that's amazing. Now let's talk a little bit property segment by property segment.
Everybody wants to talk about the death of the retail development and the retail center. Let's talk about retail first. Tell me what's going on in retail, because everybody hears about all these store closings and the death of retail.
Yep. So the one thing I'm going to do this year is anytime I'm with somebody, and I was just at ICSC in Atlanta at their idea exchange, anytime somebody uses the term a retail apocalypse, I collect a dollar from them. So I just wrote a paper with the CCIM Institute, the University of Alabama, called Retail Evolution. Look, retail's been evolving. It's been experiential since the first two caveman families came out of the cave and decided to congregate on the beach and say, hey, this is pretty cool. Let's trade some stuff. So
seashells.
Yeah. So it's all about the evolution. Most people think that most of the store bankruptcies and closings the past few years have been because of Amazon and the growth in online e-commerce. It's not. This new paper, we debunk a lot of myths. The real reason is because of over-leverage. We go back to the 1980s when retail became over-leveraged, and we had little companies like KKR think it was a growth industry, and they leveraged it with debt. And so a lot of these bankruptcies, you look at Barney's in New York, you look at Toys R Us, they're all over-leveraged stories. So that's what's pretty much we've dealt with. We're at only 10% of total retail sales on e-commerce. Our forecast is that'll grow to 20% by 2025. And the way we got there is real simple. I went back to business school and remember my rule 72. Oh. And you basically divide it by your growth rate of 10. That tells us we got 7.2 years to double. So we're growing at least 10%. And so now going forward, this evolution onto online, whether it's groceries, look at it, we're having grocery stores, cars, auto dealerships, everything that we're doing, we're moving to an online platform. So we have 80,000 shopping centers with anchored tenants in it in the United States right now. The largest number here in the South. And so we have a long ways to go. We forecast that we're going to go from 24 square feet per man, woman, child, rodent, cat, goldfish, or whatever in America, down to something in the teens, the low to mid-teens.
Wow.
That means we got to repurpose a lot of retail.
Yeah, but it's all located in good locations. Stick with me. We're going to be back after this short break with more of Casey, and we'll talk about what we're going to do with those retail locations.
When you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. They're all exceptional cars, and they all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary dent repair, key replacement, first service, red cap service, and a personal assistant that you can call for anything, anytime, for 4 years. So join me as a member of the Warren Henry family. Always the best price, always the best service. Always Warren Henry.
Time to stop the hate and spread some love. You are beautiful, you're smart, you are awesome, and you never have to change for anybody. You have the voice and you have the power. We are so much stronger when we come together. It's your choice, so choose to be inspired. Choose to be accepting, be strong, be brave, be awesome, be daring, be kind. Choose kindness.
Hey, that's right. It's year-end, and I can help you with your real estate capital. Need to close by year-end? Done deal. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. One person makes the decision. We can commit that day. We can close in a week. Sound too good to be true? It's not. We do $100 million of this stuff every year. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. Maybe you're an investor, and you need to close that condo right away. They're pressuring you to close. Call me at 305-773-6300. Maybe you need a bridge loan. loan on the land that you're going to develop next year, call me, 305-773-6300. Maybe you need some money to help you develop that project. I do that too. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's all about you.
You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, everybody. We're back with Casey Conway, the head economist for the CCIM and the big professor up at the Culver House School at University of Alabama. Go Gators. Casey and I taped this interview at the NAI National Conference that was held about a week ago Friday. So Casey and I talked about the economy and different impacts on real estate. And we're going to roll the second half of that interview for everybody now. Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay, so here we are. We're with Casey Conway. Casey, tell them your credentials here.
So I'm the Crazy Rich U economist.
There you are.
Yeah, I grew up in Colorado, developer family, ended up in Atlanta at Emory Business School, somehow have committed sins and ended up over at the University of Alabama. I misspelled Coach Saban's name in my first email to the university. I bought a house on Orange Street in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Oh,
believe
boy.
It or not, there is one Orange Street.
Oh, that's great.
So the dean said, all right, you got two strikes against us. My defense was, hey, I went to Emory. I thought the SEC was the Securities and Exchange Commission.
There you go. You're crazy. Now, listen, we were talking about retail development. We were talking about store closings. We were talking about evolution versus retail apocalypse. Here's your dollar. Now, what can we look forward to as retail? You said that we probably only need about half as much retail as we have developed today. What's going to happen to those shopping centers?
Yeah, so it's a good story. So if you want to read this paper for free on retail evolution,
right,
it's on the CCIM.com website, CCIM.com/insights. All my papers are there. And the answer we wrote on a year ago, it's called adaptive reuse. And so how do we put these assets back to use? And it's very important that our local developers and our local business leaders get on the same page here. Because if we don't put these empty assets back to productive use, it has a tremendous impact on local government funding. 60% plus of all local government funding comes from property taxes. And so if these retailers, an empty store isn't worth as much on the tax rolls or paying taxes as an occupied one. So if we don't figure out how to put these things back to use, work with zoning ordinances, setback, parking, and all that type of stuff, we have a local government funding crisis coming. So I think there's a lot of opportunity. We're seeing, for example, branch banks becoming car dealerships because car dealerships don't need all the land. They're putting the cars in old warehouses. So all those old warehouses you don't know what to do with in Miami, they're putting nice luxury cars in there so they don't get rained on and stolen. And they're delivering the cars through a branch bank. AutoNation is divesting itself of tons of big auto dealership land holdings because you don't need all that land for the cars. We don't go walk acres for cars anymore. We go online, we find it. We do all our financing in about 10 minutes online with an app with our bank, and we're done. Grocery, all of these things are moving. So I think these retail assets are in great locations. Many of them are on good commercial arterials with public transportation. Repurposing an asset is 15 to 20% less than new construction. So when you look at the rise in new construction costs, this just makes sense. So adaptive reuse, I think, is one of the big answers to the problem.
Wow, you know, and I've always agreed with that. I've always called the ends of the big shopping centers great locations for townhomes and apartment buildings. And, you know, you were talking about that, dancing around that on the edge by talking about the great locations that these are all in. I think that they're great residential development opportunities, but I don't know that you get the same valuations unless you do a mixed-use development and put a little bit of something on the ground floor, maybe some retail, maybe some office, maybe some service-type space.
Yeah, well, you know what we're finding is companies and residents, say apartment renters, that go into an adaptive use project, they tend to pay more in rent, they have less turnover and lower vacancy because they've made a commitment to either the location or the concept, and they want something different. And so office tenants that go into adaptive use spend more as they want that cool factor, they want that open factor. And the apartment tenants that go into that, they usually are getting a better location, they're getting public transit. And so we find when the developers do the performa, we have the largest database in the country now on over 40 states on these adaptive use projects on the numbers. And we're finding that they come in 15 to 20% less on new construction costs. They have about half of the long-term vacancy as a new project because of that kind of cool, better location factor. And on a rent built ability, they have higher rents, higher rent growth, and more stability. So adaptive use makes sense.
Well, you need to go with me to the DDA meeting after this. You
bring them on. We'll bring the red shoes and click the heels, and we'll make magic.
I'm working on that, Casey. I'm working on that. I got great, great examples. So let's take some of your takeaways that you give when you give your speech to all the big fancy groups that you speak in front of. What are some key things you see there, trends that are coming up that we should focus on?
Yeah, so I think a big common sense one that overarches everything we've just talked about is everything that's happening in our economy today is first about we're evolving from a shop and take home economy. Go to the mall because we couldn't get an extension cord long enough on our phone when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm, right.
So from shop and take home to order online and deliver to me whenever the bleep I want it and how I want it.
I just did that with my phone. I tried to get it in the store. They didn't have it in the store. They said, come back tomorrow. They still didn't have it in the store. I said, why am I doing this? I said, you know, and then I was working with the carrier. I said, the heck with this. I'm just going, and I called Apple, and bang, my phone was there the next day. I got on the phone with a guy from Apple. Bang, everything was downloaded in 10 minutes, and I didn't need to go and go to the store.
Yeah. Well, look at cars. Yeah, we have a good friend, Todd in Tampa.
Sure.
And Todd's a good fan of Tesla. Look at how Tesla maintains his cars. It's a download at night while you're sleeping. They're doing diagnostics. They're fixing things. So, I mean, really where we see things going is, you know, everything is changing because of this online economy. The other thing that it ties into there is what I call our disruption curve. So we used to think it took a long time for technology to embed and get adopted. Think airline travel. It took us almost a half century to get comfortable with airline travel. It took us almost two decades to get comfortable with the ATM machine and that it was actually going to give our card back and money too.
Oh, I remember when the first ones came out in the mid to late 70s and people didn't understand what was going on.
Well, what's happening today is so much quicker, the disruption curve. And I'll give you one example that Florida leads in. So in January 1 of next year, Florida will become the first state where autonomous trucking will be feasible on every state, U.S., and federal highway. Florida is the first state to comprehensively adopt legislation over this past summer to basically allow autonomous trucking.
Zombie trucks?
Yeah. So they basically have set up a model. They've addressed the liability insurance for these autonomous trucks. So if they go rogue and run over a family in Disney World, they've already figured out the cost per man, woman, child, pet dog on the roof rack of Romney's car or whatever. What they're doing is they've developed what's basically an air traffic control model. So when a company launches next year an autonomous truck from its warehouse somewhere in Florida, it'll be registered with a autonomous truck control center. And there'll be a controller that will have 10, 20, whatever number of trucks that they will monitor from point of departure to its destination. And so if anything's going wrong, they can do it. They put all the technology in the roads. They put everything's in place. And so Florida will become the first state where autonomous trucking is a reality.
Wow. Now, I read a number, I think, that most of the truckers are in their upper 50s, that the trucking industry itself is just aging itself out of existence, and this is just really not going to really replace many jobs. It's just going to be that they age out and that this will take over. Is that really what's happening?
Yeah, and I might be exaggerating a little bit on these numbers, but I joke sometimes. The average age of a trucker is like 58 or 59.
Right.
And their average longevity is 63 to 65, so they're all dead in 5 years. So we got to have autonomous trucking. The electronic log delivery legislation 2 years ago really took a big bite out of truck drivers. A lot of them couldn't upgrade their trucks. They couldn't adapt to the technology. So the trucking needs today are really going to be short haul. They're going to be these Amazon Mercedes vans running around short haul.
Right.
The long haul is going to be done by rail. It's going to be done by, you know, all autonomous type trucking. So you're right, the truck driver is kind of like the buggy driver. It's going away.
Wow. What's another example of an industry that's automating so fast that we're going to lose a lot of jobs there? And where are those people going to find jobs?
Yeah, so it's a concern. So, you know, retail's another one. Look at all the things that are using automated kiosks. McDonald's can't seem to figure out how to make those damn things work.
It's amazing to go in there and have them have to have somebody stand next to you to show you how to order.
Yeah, so it's funny. McDonald's puts them all in their restaurants, and then nobody knows how to work, and they laid all the people off at the counter, so you got to go to the counter to try to get help, but they're all gone.
Right, it's amazing.
So I love the Chick-fil-A model. Chick-fil-A said, we're not going to torture you with a self-service kiosk. We're going to have a really good app. And so Chick-fil-A is essentially redoing most of its physical stores to add, you know, 3-4 more lanes of drive, and it's all with your app. So if you've ordered online, you can have your app. You pull up, it scans it, there's a locker, your food comes out, and they're seeing they can tear down a store completely rebuild a new store with all this technology, two kitchens, one for the online order, their payback is like 18 months and their sales go up 40% a location. Now that's what I call retail evolution.
That is retail evolution. And how about these kitchens that people are making without any storefronts?
Yeah, so you know, casual dining, the record just showed Americans now spend more, when the new data came out from the U.S. Census Bureau this past week, we spend more dining out or on prepared foods than we do at the grocery store. That's a first ever. The millennial generation is that way. They don't have a kitchen hardly in the apartment anymore. They downsize. They don't have china. They don't have a dining room table. So dining out is part of the experience of their life. So you're right. The casual dining in the online is growing tremendously.
Now, what about the retailers? There's all these retailers that are closing stores, but now people that never had a street-level presence are getting street-level brick-and-mortar, and there are other retailers that are coming out, and they're reinventing themselves and taking back control of their supply chain and their distribution chain. What's going on?
Yeah, so Levi's is a great current example of that. So Levi's discovered with all the department stores closing that, they couldn't sell jeans anymore because Levi's had adopted a wholesale model where they provided the jeans to the department stores like a Sears or a Macy's, Kohl's or whatever, and they sold the jeans, and Levi's didn't have retail outlets. Well, now with the department stores closing, Levi's is realizing, we got to develop our own stores. So Levi's is actually out there developing. They've announced that they're going to do over 100 retail stores this next year to sell Levi jeans because the department store and the wholesale channel doesn't work anymore.
You can't find Levi's jeans. I went out and looked when I wanted to buy jeans, and I couldn't find any Levi's jeans that were anything I'd want to wear. I was amazed.
Yeah, you got to go to San Francisco, deal with a horrible airport, horrible city, panhandling and whatnot, and eventually find a Levi's store. But Levi's has figured it out. And this is another big example. Another big retail trend is retailers firing Amazon. So Amazon's not been a great partner. They find something you have. If they don't bully you into selling on their platform, then they try to put you out of business. A good example is my casual red shoes, Allbirds. Allbirds wouldn't sell their shoes on Amazon. So Amazon created a knockoff wool blend type of casual shoe.
Right.
Are selling it at half price, trying to put Allbirds out of business. Target has fired Amazon. Nike just announced they fired Amazon. Retailers are figuring out, we can't trust Amazon, so we're going to a new platform. That's another big trend, is look for the growth in companies like Shopify or FedEx and how they're doing. FedEx is putting fulfillment centers and drop-off and pickup in Dollar Tree stores.
Listen, there's so much more that we could talk about that. Do you have a second and we can do one more segment together?
You bet, anything for you.
I love you, man. Right back after this short break.
When you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out our friends and your friends at Warren Henry. Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. And now don't forget, Warren Henry's got an Audi store in Gainesville. Exceptional cars all, and they all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary dent repair, key replacement, first service, red cap service, and a personal assistant that you can call for anything, anytime, for 4 years. So join me as a member of the Warren Henry family. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry.
Sitting cross-legged on the floor.
It's time to stop the hate and spread some love. You are beautiful, you're smart, you are awesome, and you never have to change for anybody. You have the voice and you have the power. We are so much stronger when we come together. It's your choice, so choose to be inspired. Choose to be accepting, be strong, be brave, be awesome, be daring, be kind. Choose kindness.
Hey, it's that time of year. It's year end and everybody's hair's on fire. So if your hair's on fire because you got to close by year end, call me, email me. You got it. Jim Freed, 305-773-6300. Jim at Freed on Business. Why are you going to email me? Why are you going to call me? Because I can help. I can help. I've got two clients I'm helping right now. One needs a bridge loan. The other needs an acquisition loan. I want to help them both. One's an investor from overseas buying an investment condo on Miami Beach from one of my good friends. Yeah, I can help them. And I've got another person that looks to close their bridge loan by year end. The equity that I'm bringing to the apartment deal, $14 million. And the loan that I'm doing for my healthcare client. One is $35 million and the other is $11 million. So we got a big year coming up. I hope you can be part of it too. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's all about you.
You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, everybody, we're back with Casey Conway, the head economist for the CCIM and the big professor up at the Culver House School at University of Alabama. Go Gators. Casey and I taped this interview at the NAI National Conference that was held about a week ago Friday. So Casey and I talked about the economy and different impacts on real estate. And we're going to roll the second half of that interview for everybody now. Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay, we're back with Casey Conway. Now, Casey, you're a CCIM economist. You see all kinds of things all over the country. One of the big trends here in South Florida is where, I can't believe I'm about to say this, running out of land, especially in-town land for distribution, assembly, stuff like that. What is the future of the industrial property here in South Florida?
Yeah, so neat question. So the first thing is, there was a recent story came out. I probably have to give credit to our joint friend, Todd Jones, up in Tampa.
High five to Todd.
Yep. So he sent me a piece on 13 mind-blowing facts about Florida's economy. So one of them was two-thirds of the land in Florida is still used for farming. This story that Florida's running out of land is barbecue sauce. That's a polite way of saying BS in the South, you know. So it's barbecue sauce.
Barbecue sauce. I like that. I hadn't heard that before. Now agriculture land, it's all pretty good for home building and other types of stuff because it's typically high and dry.
Yeah, it is. The other thing that's happening, you get to a more of a high-dense market like here in Miami. So we're seeing a new trend. We're going back to the 1930s and 40s to figure out. Sears and Montgomery Wards used to do distribution in the 1930s and 40s in a vertical fashion. We're going back there. The land to building ratio for industrial warehouses has traditionally been 3 to 4 to 1. And now it's going to like 7 to 1 because these big e-commerce warehouses, they have double tandem trucks, they need more pad parking, they need bigger courtyards, they need parking for employees. So what we're seeing is entities are going to vertical warehousing. So we've seen one in Brooklyn that's going up right now. There's another one in Seattle. And so the business model, I'm joking here, by the way, to the audience, Amazon goes on top. It puts all the other retailers below so it can spy on them and steal their merchandise. But, okay, I'm joking. But anyway, these are vertical warehouses where you can get back to a 2 or 3 to 1 ratio. And I think that's something we're going to see here in Miami is these vertical warehouses like the one that's being done in the Red Hook neighborhood in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. It also accelerates last mile delivery. So look for a vertical warehouse coming to your Miami neighborhood soon.
Yeah, well, that also comes with all kinds of infrastructure needs, all kinds of internal robotics and different racking systems, and these all create new jobs.
They absolutely do. So it's a technology shift. And the concern I have in this country, we still have about 30% of our high school students don't graduate. And so they're not going to be part of this technology economy. And so we really need to look at and work at our community college system to give these kids the skills to do things like maintain the robots, machine maintenance, how do you maintain the electronic robotic forklift? And so places like Houston are ahead of it. The Houston Community College is a good model to look at. Places like Salt Lake are doing a good job with that. Phoenix. So you've got great universities here in Florida. University of Central Florida has been a great one. You've got all kinds of good ones here in South Florida, but you've done more high skill. But we also need to look at that low skill. What are we going to do with this workforce that's being displaced or maybe doesn't go on to college?
Well, I really think that the most important thing for that type of a workforce is not only food security they need emotional security, they need real job security, career security. It's no bad. It's not bad to make $75 an hour as a plumber or some kind of high skilled mechanic. And I don't see why we can't have more aspiration towards that and more functional delivery of those education skills right in the population centers.
You're exactly right. I'll give you a good example. The Houston Community College 5 years ago decided to scrap its business model. It was all the old type of community model. A kid coming out of the community college system in Houston might make $35,000 to $40,000. They'd have student loan debt. They reoriented it to a technology modern workforce. So how to maintain robots, what companies really need. And so they implemented that 18-month program. These kids, they're all labs. They're not classrooms. So whether it's HVAC, whether it's plumbing, whether it's the maintaining an electronic forklift, those kids now come out making over $90,000 a year. Here's your recreation of your middle class.
Wow.
And the college says, if we don't place you within 6 months making more than what your total cost of the education was, we'll forgive it. How's that for a community college living? They have a waiting list.
Wow. I don't see why they don't have a waiting list like that. My God, you're right. It's amazing. So why aren't other community colleges doing this? Or is this the new model that they're rolling out?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is you don't know what you don't know. One of my things I talk about presentations today is really know what you don't know. Be challenging yourself. Dig deep beyond these metrics. So when we get all this bad government data on jobs and everything else, the government tells us we're losing retail workers every day. No, we're not. They're being created in this thing called logistics, and those get categorized in the NAIC system under transportation. So we think we're adding all of these truck drivers when really those are retail logistics workers. So we need to overhaul a lot of our old government data and antiquated type stuff. Look for good private industry data sets like LinkedIn Workforce. LinkedIn has its own workforce report that by each MSA, it'll tell you what your gap is by skill and what you need or what you may have a surplus of. So for example, if here in Miami or in Central Florida, you need a lot of engineers, and you can't find them, go to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. We produce a lot of them, and we don't have enough jobs for all of them. So you can steal them, and there's your supply, and here's your demand.
So those metrics are readily available on LinkedIn?
Yeah, they have a monthly workforce report, and they produce what's called a skills gap analysis by industry and by MSA, and they break us all down. 190 million of us have a LinkedIn account. Right? And they break us down by over 50,000 categories, from plumbers to realtors to doctors,
Wow. And
they tell us what's happening. It's incredible data.
Wow, that's amazing. And that's just available off of LinkedIn for a premium membership? Or?
Yeah, if you're a basic LinkedIn subscriber, you can get the basic information. If you go to the premium, you can get the full detailed download. It's incredible information. For small business, I tell people, look at the paychecks data. If you're a middle business and you want to know where middle market companies are, those that have proven their concept, they've made it past Shark Tank. They've got $10 million in revenue, and they're up to $100 million. Go to the University of Ohio. It's called the National Center for Middle Market Companies, NCMM. And they deal with these companies that are proven the concept. They're looking to grow. They maybe need to find a port relationship. Like here in Florida, you got 13 of them.
Wow.
They need to find workforce. They need to find affordability. They need to find low tax. Oh, my God. Why isn't Florida adopting Ohio State University as its economic development center?
I don't know. I would think that our universities are looking at that model to try to evolve there. Let's talk real quick about office space. What's going on with office space?
Yeah, so don't worry about WeWork. I mean, WeWork was, it's not the end of co-working. Co-working is a concept that is going to succeed. Companies are looking for efficiency. And when I tell office brokers today, don't look at pitching a company on the rent per square foot. Redo the metrics and look at cost per person. That's what companies are looking at. And that's what the whole co-working is. You look at the financial services industry. They're looking at, what the accounting industry taught us really 2 decades ago. How can I have office reservation? Basically the hoteling of office space.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing hotels starting to put co-working space in the hotel. The number one or two business traveler request when they book a hotel room today is your proximity to a co-working place so they can have a meeting, meet with a client or whatnot. So just as retail's going to duck into hospitality because it's the new showroom of the future, so is office and co-working. So don't worry about WeWork. Not a big problem here in Florida. Co-working is going to continue.
Well, what about the retailers in the hotel lobby? Tell me a little bit about more about that. That's interesting.
Yeah, so in our retail evolution paper, one of the key predictions we have is what's happening. Retailers have discovered hotels are a great place to do retail. So the hotels are trying to cut their costs in terms of furniture, fixturing, overhead, operating the gift shop, operating that great Starbucks that's always got a line, right, Jimmy, here in the
Intercontinental. Oh, my God, that was ridiculous.
It's like, you know, a two-hour wait at the Intercontinental, if they would just expand the Starbucks, they could do twice the business.
Exactly.
So hotels have said, look, how do we reduce things like furniture, fixturing, expense costs? How do we reduce overhead employee costs?
Or create additional income streams.
Yeah, and so what they've done is they said, hey, retailers, you're looking for a new place? We got all your customers. And we can align your customer demographic to our hotel brand. So if you're a Marriott or a Hilton or a Holiday Inn or Intercontinental, we can partner with your loyalty programs. We can give you almost free space in our hotel lobby. And you come in and you set it up, you staff it, and we'll just take 10, 15% off the top. We have new revenue. We don't have to furnish and fixture the space. We don't have to staff it. This is the new big business model in retail. Retail, Restoration Hardware is one of the big examples. And if you think I'm wrong on this, go look up what Warren Buffett's biggest new position was. It was in Restoration Hardware, who's going into unusual places like hotels and museums to basically sell their merchandise.
Wow, so I could basically go and the lobby of the hotel is a showroom for Restoration Hardware. I can walk up to what I like, take a picture of it, and there you go.
Yeah, so every item, a lamp, you're sitting, and say I'm sitting here with my wife, and she says, man, I really like that lamp or that fixture over there. There's a QSR code on it. They go up, she scans it, takes a picture of it. Wow, I like it. The price is good. I'll order it right here at the hotel. So the retailers are realizing the business traveler, you know, I forget my anniversary, my kid's birthday, an event coming up, and I'm here in the hotel, everything I need. I'll give you one other good example. There's a hotel concept called Great Wolf Lodge. They started in the upper Midwest, Minnesota. They worked their way down to Colorado, North Carolina, and Georgia. They're kind of a hotel attached to a big water park. What they've done is they've added about 40,000 square feet of retail space. Build-A-Bear, Disney stores, Chick-fil-A, Dunkin' Donuts, you name it. So you go in and you check in and you get your hotel rate. And the facility in the water park is used during the day when the business traveler is gone. So you don't have double parking. And they basically have them over off to the side going out to the water park so they don't disrupt the hotel. And now they give them, when you check in, you buy an $80 pass that the hotel gets 15% of, and you get a free thing at the Dunkin' Donuts. You get a free wand at a Disney store so you can go spend more. You get a free basic Build-A-Bear that you get to spend another $50, you know, dressing it out for your kid. This thing really works.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. So let's kind of wrap up now, Casey. What can we look forward to coming up in 2020 and beyond? Are we looking at recessions? Are we looking at, crazy growth? What do you think is going to happen?
So I see no recession. I joke a little bit, given our politics right now and what's going on in D.C. No recession, but maybe state secession. So I really do worry we're ripping this country apart, and that I worry that states like Texas and Florida here, in other southeastern states that are low tax, they're fiscally responsible, they don't have big deficits, they're growing workforce, they're doing all the right things. I don't think they're going to pay the subsidy anymore for the Northeast and the West Coast. And I think we really could face some sort of a constitutional crisis in 2021, depending on what happens in the elections, where maybe a group of states say, we're out of here. And I joke, there actually is a term for this, Florida and Texas saying, we're about done with this, we'll exit, and it's called Flexit. Florida and Texas exit. So no recession, maybe state recession. The economic fundamentals are strong. We're around 3.5% unemployment. We have more job openings than we do unemployed people. We have the consumer confidence at record numbers. We have retailers and corporate earnings that are doing good. If you back out what I call the self-inflicted 20 companies from the S&P 500, these are companies that do really stupid things to themselves, shoot themselves in the foot, like Boeing or Under Armour with an accounting scandal. You take those out, we're looking at like 8% earnings growth in the third quarter again.
Wow.
This is the fourth consecutive quarter of really stellar corporate earnings, and we've had tariffs in place for a year. And what companies are realizing, if you look at these earnings, a Walmart or a Procter & Gamble or a consumer staple or manufacturer, is they're telling us two things. We're figuring out how to redo supply chain, and we're figuring out there's efficiencies where we don't have to pass the cost along. And this is the innovation of when you go over to China and you treat it kind of like a big fire ant hill, you kick a fire ant hill and the ants scatter. Trump went over to China, he kicked the fire ant hill, all the manufacturers, they fled to Vietnam, South Korea, Mexico, all over the world, and we're figuring out we can redo this stuff. So I think that's why you're seeing a trade deal come to the table, because if they don't like Trump, I guarantee you they're not going to like Elizabeth Warren any better.
Well, that's great. Well, listen, Casey, I want to thank you so much for coming and helping us out today and always being a friend of the show. Look forward to seeing you again real soon again. Thank you so much to our good friend, Casey Conway, economist. And one more plug, Casey, where can people find all your papers?
Yeah, if they just go to ccim.com/insight to see Insight Series. And the last thing I'll tell you how good things are for Florida. So the Merrill Lynch bull, the original Merrill Lynch bull that was on Wall Street, it left New York. It too was tired of high taxes. It got moved to Isleworth Country Club in Orlando. And I recently was there, and even the bull was wearing my red shoe economist. He agrees. Things are bullish in Florida.
You're the best, Casey. Thank you so much, Casey Conway. We'll be right back. I'll give you my opinion of everything we talked about right after this.
I don't know when I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling all down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.
When you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. They're all exceptional cars, and they all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary dent repair, key replacement, first service, red cap service, and a personal assistant that you can call for anything, anytime, for 4 years. So join me as a member of the Warren Henry family. Always the best price, always the best service. Always Warren Henry.
I bet there's rich folks eating in a fancy dining car.
Ugly.
Stupid.
Dweeb.
Useless. Weird.
Slow.
Things that should never be said.
Shut it down.
We are all beautiful.
We are strong.
We are powerful.
Be loud.
Be proud.
We have the power to put an end to bullying.
So go ahead. Be you.
Be bold.
Be different.
Be brave.
Choose to stand up against bullies.
Choose kindness.
Choose kindness.
Choose kindness.
Hey, that's right. It's year end and I can help you with your real estate capital. Need to close by year end? Done deal. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. One person makes the decision. We can commit that day. We can close in a week. Sound too good to be true? It's not. We do $100 million of this stuff every year. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. Maybe you're an investor and you need to close that condo right away. They're pressuring you to close. Call me at 305-773-6300. Maybe you need a bridge loan on the land that you're going to develop next year. Call me, 305-773-6300. Maybe you need some money to help you develop that project. I do that too. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's all about you.
You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, I want to take the last couple of minutes of the show to give thanks and talk about Thanksgiving. You know, it's been a real big year for me. This time, a couple of years ago, we were still looking for Vivian's kidney, and I want to give a big shout-out to George Fernandez, and thank you for, you know, during Thanksgiving a couple of years ago, helping us to keep steady and helping us work through all of our insurance issues. And thank you so much to George and everybody else that helped the kidney. I want to thank Betty DeMartini, our kidney donor. Of course, I want to thank Vivian. I want to thank my entire campaign team, Peter Ehrlich, Randy Hilliard, and of course, Grant Stern, as well as the people of Miami that voted for me and also those that didn't vote for me. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to do that again sometime. I really want to thank everybody that helped. Over the last year, it's been a tremendous year, real estate-wise. Just a lot of closings, a lot of great business, a lot of good stuff coming up for next year, too. But the most important thing is to be surrounded by your family and to thank them. Vivian Freed, I want to thank you so much for providing me a beautiful environment to live in and all the love in the world. Vivian is just the most amazing person. She's filled with love and joy, and I'm blessed to have her at my side, helping me all the time through all of the beautiful things that we've been through together. She's just a tremendous person, and I can't thank her enough. Finally, of course, I want to thank the rest of my family for being there to support me as well. Without family, where would we be? We'd have a very big, big problem. So, you know, go out there, be thankful. As time goes on, our Thanksgivings evolve and they change, and new traditions come, old traditions are passed on. The most important thing is to keep those traditions alive and to give unconditional love to those that are there with you as you are celebrating the holidays. I'm going to have a very special time with my mom, and then I'm going to go out and have more time with some friends and some close friends and some family. It's going to be a tremendous day. I'm really looking forward to it, looking forward to the next few days, renewing myself, getting a bunch of positive energy. I know that everybody that is associated with the show wishes everybody a very happy Thanksgiving. And with that, I think it's about time to go. We got any more time there, Reagan? Oh, yeah. Okay, great. So go out there while you're driving. The most important thing is to be positive while you're driving. The folks out there, you know, it's a challenge to drive on the holidays when there's a little bit extra space on the highway. People have a tendency to perhaps go a little bit outside of their comfort zone. Let that person go past. Maybe they're late. Maybe they're not feeling well. But you stay in the right-hand lane and go slow. Right-hand lane, go slow is what the holidays are all about. There's no place that you're really in a hurry. Believe me, they have a lot of extra food where you're going. And I do want to say a shout-out to my friends at the Church of Christ in Coconut Grove. We had a beautiful Sunday with them. Brother Maddox, Brother Marshall, Brother Gill, all those beautiful people and all the folks that we helped out with their holiday dinner. I want to thank, of course, the Knights of Malta, who always help us out with their charitable giving as well, there with the Church of Christ. And for Christmas time, Vivian and I have got a whole bunch of clothing we're going to give out. We're calling it Performance Art in Coconut Grove. We're going to give out old big bags of Peace, Love, World stuff. Every kid in the Grove hopefully will be running around saying, I am peace, I am love, I am hope, which is exactly what they are. We'll get photos. We'll post those up. But that's what we're about. We're not really about running and being forgotten. We're about going out there and making a difference. Vivian and I are going to continue to work hard to make a difference in our community. And that's what I really give thanks for. I give thanks for the opportunity to make a difference every day. When I get up, I work hard to make a difference, and I hope that you do too. This is where I read my little part at the end of the show. I think it's very important. I want to thank our sponsor, our big sponsor, Warren Henry, Larry, Abe, all those people, Samantha, everybody that helps us out there at Warren Henry, the NFL Alumni Association. High five to Howard Fabian, Creco AI, Carlson Integrated, our information folks. Bruce Dickell is always on the show, Bergstrom Center for Real Estate Studies. I want to thank you, though, my listener. Without you, we wouldn't have a show. Go to our Facebook page, like our show, and tell your friends. Share us on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, all that stuff. If you missed today's show, it's going to be broadcast every single day at noon on 880 The Biz. This is Jim Freed for Freed on Business. Look for us at 880 a.m. next week at 12 on Wednesday. We'll have our tech show. So it's going to be an awesome show. Why will we be there? Because I just love doing this. Remember, the person wants to do something finds a way, the other finds an excuse. Now go out there and make it happen. And a high five to all of our first responders that listen and tell me hello every day. We give thanks for our first responders. And again, a final thank you to my love, Vivian Freed. Thank you so much, my love. I love you. I'm on my way home right now, baby. I'll see you and hug you soon.